Well, this presentation has taken several turns. Originally, I was just going to talk about my personal situation, but I started digging into it in some bits and pieces, and I came up with a lot of other information. There's a set of people, maybe quite a few out here, who really liked the job that they were doing. They said, gee, why do I get kicked out on the street? Why do I have to do something different? I really would like to continue on with what I'm doing, even if I didn't get paid for it. Well, there are people like that. And as I note here, everybody's a little bit different. Well, maybe a lot different. What about that first? Do you like the work itself? Do you believe you're of some benefit in what you're doing? Do you enjoy the personal interactions with your colleagues and customers? Does quitting cold turkey sort of scare you? Well, it probably fits a lot of people. Or is your employment merely a way to earn money to do what you're really interested in? Well, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to the first group. Well, assuming that you do love that job, are you a candidate for doing it in a different way? Do you really enjoy going to work? Do you feel you're solving problems? Are you active in professional organizations? Are your health problems manageable? Have you maxed out your retirement? That's an issue that is relevant, certainly. You may be a candidate for this sort of thing. And what I'm talking about is Federal Service Emeritus Appointments. It's a very complicated thing. They were authorized 30-some years ago and as part of a piece of legislation about federal personnel structure, part of what was called the demonstration program, and it was designed for research laboratories, and it allowed each individual unit to form a program recognizing emeritus employees. They are not across a whole agency. They're within each individual unit. That makes it a little complicated. Most of these proposed rules provide for voluntary emeritus positions. In my particular case, my organization, the Engineer R&D Center, published it in 1998. How widespread are these programs? The USGS has by far the largest program. There are 490 current emeritus employees in USGS. The other ones have smaller numbers. There are some programs that I have had. That's interesting. The change I made yesterday isn't in it. Oh well. I've been unable to find numbers of these, even though the ones with asterisks are ones that have published descriptions of the program. I have been unable to find anybody who is able to answer a question. I do have an answer for the Forest Service. The Forest Service authorized this program some years ago as a piece of their volunteer program. If you're familiar at all with the Forest Service, it has a highly organized volunteer program. Well, they added a paragraph for emeritus researchers, and they have 16 of them at present in the Southern Research Station. But as I said, the difficulty is that each unit, Forest Service, I think, has 19 different units. Every single one of them would have to create a separate program. Here is the ad from the Goddard Space Flight Center. They're soliciting employees who are interested. Here's the USGS Emeritus Program. It's been started in 1986, there I was able to find somebody who is responsible for managing the program. They recognize that the emeriti can contribute in all of these ways, essentially all the ways that they contributed as an active employee. And especially in mentoring and advising the new people, which is something that I know we're all interested in, and we all do it to some degree or other, even if we don't have a formal program. What are the basic requirements for USGS? These are their specifics. Essentially you have to ask for it, and the director of your unit has to agree that you are an acceptable appointee for this. The science center director, the branch chief, however your unit is organized. Here are some things that all these different programs seem to have in common. A lot of variation. They're established at the laboratory or unit level. A lot of variation, very dependent on director's approval, but they all have these things in common. They're not part of the FTEs. They can't exercise any government authority. You're not a government employee when it comes to signing things. I still have a CAC card that enables me to get into the systems, but it doesn't authorize me to approve anything that's contractual. It may or may not retain a security clearance. Now, that's not an element for most of you, but that's a local decision. There is no added salary. We're talking about similar to university emeritus appointments. They provide you typically access to an office and a computer or email. There's some minimal staff support is available. You're eligible for government travel reimbursement if it's needed for you to work on a project. And you have to do continued updates to all of these picky little things that government offices require you, you know, the EEO approval and preventing sexual harassment and all of these kinds of things. You still have to keep up with those. Other organizational arrangements where there isn't a formal emeritus program, well, they're termed collaborators or volunteers or other titles. They do have to have a written agreement. You can't just pop in. There has to be a written agreement that says what you can do. There may be some performance requirements. I ran into some people that said, oh, well, I have a requirement that I am supposed to complete 2 project reviews every year. So there are some requirements. Office space and computer access may or may not be provided. I ran into some people who were considered an emeritus member, but it was only a virtual sort of a thing by email and telephone. They may or may not be listed in the personnel roster of the organization. Do I have any advice on this? Keep in mind that this is possible. Ask ahead of time. Don't expect it to be all easy. It probably isn't going to be available for everyone, even though in theory you could. Examine your agency's specific provisions as soon as you can, even a year or two before you're thinking about formal requirement. There's a huge variation in agency support, and a lot of people in your supervisory chain may not be familiar with it. It just depends on how much emphasis your organization has on it. As I said, the USGS, with almost 500 emeritus employees, is highly organized in this respect. Continued productivity or professional society status may be a piece. They may consider you useful in representing the organization at places that they don't send people to. Remember, you got to do this at your own expense, typically. But there are cases that it really can work out well. And as I said, I started out going to report on my own situation, and I think it has. Thank you.